Hello there.
CBS presents this program in color.
Autobots, roll out. End of line.
Sounds pretty heavy.
Wait, has nothing to do with it.
I am the Knight Industries 2000.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I'm Batman.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Welcome to Vintage Geeks, where we are saving the multiverse one podcast at a time. I'm David.
I'm Joe.
I'm Dunk.
Not so fucking easy, is it, Joe?
It is not.
Not so easy to get through that fucking intro.
I was trying to blast through it, and my mouth got ahead of my head. So I'm 0 for 1, and so I'm a perpetual 0, because it's probably not happening again.
Yeah. You have no idea how often today I recited that in my head so I didn't fuck it up, so I couldn't be like, that, like, not having recorded in like 2 months, I'm like, yeah, I'll come back, be able to fucking just fly through it and bust Joe's ass. But
because you are now a proud resident of the quote unquote South.
Yeah, dude. Oh, so, okay. When you guys recorded Love and Thunder, like, the weekend before, I could have probably recorded. But it was smack dab in the middle of our move. Like, we were fucking... our house was a fucking disaster. It was ridiculous. Wednesday, after I got out of work, I fucking, like, broke down my entire office and just went fucking ham putting shit away. I'm going to tell you what, guys. If you ever do a big move where you're not just like moving a little bit away, like a couple towns, whatever, pack fucking everything and have it ready to be loaded on whatever fucking vehicle you're using instead of thinking that you're going to live through a move. That was our biggest mistake, was trying to like keep shit out and keep things that we were going to use. The only thing you need are enough clothes to get you through. Just fucking wash your clothes, your toiletries, eat fucking out, because moving while you're trying to live is fucking stupid. You just like last second shit is just thrown in the truck. It's a complete mess. It took like a week of looking for shit just to find everything we needed. It was dumb. But that being said, the move itself went fine. We got down here in like 16, 17 hours. The house is far nicer than the walkthrough that we saw, or even like the photos we saw.
Because now you did not physically see it, but
no. Sister-in-law came and did the walk,
that's right,
the first walkthrough, and she was telling us how like, oh, I think the primary bedroom is kind of small, and the other bedrooms are a little bit smaller.
Don't
than
you
are.
Dare say master bedroom, you racist South fucker.
I fucking, you have no idea for how long like I've always said master bedroom, and like, I was watching HGTV, and like slowly I started noticing they weren't calling shit the master bedroom anymore. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I forget where I heard it, but someone said you can't call it a master bedroom anymore because that's what they used to call the slave owners' bedrooms back in slavery days. And I'm like, really? Like, you know how hard it is to not say master bedroom after just hearing it for like fucking 45 years? And then all of a sudden they're like, you got to stop using it. I'm like, I get the condemnation of the word, I guess. But like at the same time, it's like, it doesn't mean that. It's just the main bedroom, but whatever.
I just want to make you feel uncomfortable. That's all.
Dude, I trust me, I brought it up to my wife, and she goes, just in front of you, I'm not ever saying primary bedroom. I'm like, I don't care. Like, to me, it's not like we have people going, oh, master, fucking, let me bring it. Like, no, it's a fucking bedroom. It's the biggest fucking bedroom in the house. Whatever. Fuck, it's craziness. Just chaos. But it's so weird how quick the change came, because, like, I just started noticing it on, like, HGTV, where they'd say primary bedroom, and yes. I thought it was like some Canadian thing that they were doing at first. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I really forget where I heard it, and I told my wife, and she's like, oh, that's why they're doing it. I'm like, you noticed that too? She's like, oh yeah.
All right, well, continue, but, Mr. White Maleville, go ahead.
But that being said, I fucking love it down here. Like, we are literally minutes from everything. We've been out to eat a bunch, all these restaurants that I never would have heard of. Like, it was all word of mouth restaurants that we've gone to, and the food down here is fucking amazing. There's always shit to do. I'm literally 45 minutes away from the stadium the Panthers play in, so there's like going to be huge concerts there. They had a fucking food truck thing that they do every third Friday of the month throughout the summer, where they just have shut down like a part of downtown Rock Hill and just have fucking food trucks everywhere and a band playing and fucking people just run around, eat food. It was fucking amazing, and all the food was good. It was just, I fucking love it. Absolutely love it. Love being able to go to a Walmart that's like literally the size of one of our malls up there and like find anything that you possibly need and go to the toy section and fucking find toys. I cannot believe I've spent the last fucking on and off 30 years in Vermont. I fucking hate that state. I'm so glad to be away from it. I fucking hate it so much.
So, you know, you sound like a fucking girl that broke up with her boyfriend and now got a new boyfriend, and now you're just trashing your ex.
Oh, I've hated that state forever. Like, don't even get me wrong. I've been trying to get out of that state almost since I've moved there. And, like, I've never liked Vermont. If any, like, granted, I have spent more time in my life living in Vermont than anywhere else, so I guess I am technically from Vermont, but I will never say I'm from Vermont. I fucking hate that state. Fucking hate it.
And you're gonna love it there. You're gonna love it there in December, January, February, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I already saw a picture. A friend posted a picture of how the fucking leaves are already turning up in the mountains where we live. I'm like, fuck that. Fuck that. There's no way in hell I would be happy about the leaves turning right now. Like, it was hot and muggy, and it was fantastic. I was loving life. It's actually been unseasonably cool for the last couple of weeks. It's really weird. The last few days, it started to get kind of back to normal, but it's still, I'm either adjusted to it or it just isn't as bad as everyone says, because like, day was muggy, but it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't like I'm running a marathon or some shit.
Yeah,
I was out fucking doing a couple things, but yeah, no, I love it down here. Absolutely best decision we've ever made, ever.
Yeah, well, all when right. I was it was you that's great, because it's I mean, shit, now you got a movie theater that doesn't, you don't have to take a fucking Greyhound bus too.
45 minutes. It was 45 to 50 minutes depending on traffic. And that was like, they just barely started doing fucking reserve seating. So I would say within the last year you could do reserve seating. Before that, you would have had to show up to get the seat you wanted like an hour before movie time. Or if it was like for The Force Awakens, I spent from fucking noon until showtime in the theater just to get a good seat for that movie.
Oh Oh my so, God, they don't have assigned seating? That is so
fucking I swear to God, it just barbaric. Became a thing.
That is so uncouth, unclassed.
It is. It's
barbarians.
Awful. Yeah, first world problems, what can I say? But, no, it is nice. My wife actually went to the movies on Friday, and my sister-in-law was all bummed out because they didn't have recliner seats. I'm like, wow. I thought I was bad. Like, I had to have a fucking big-ass screen and an actual movie theater go to, but I wasn't ever looking for, like, recliner seats and all that shit. But, yeah. What is the next Marvel movie coming out? Is it Black Panther 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that comes out in November.
Man.
Jesus.
Dude, that's fucking... That's almost here, man. We got a bunch of movies. I got a bunch of things coming up, Marvel and DC here. Over the next for Q4, well, you got Black Adam and Shazam, right? You got Black Panther the only one?
Yeah,
that's
the only movie that's coming out. Is there another series that's coming out?
Yeah, isn't
Disney Plus series coming out? I think
is Andor? Well, that's not Marvel, but I think Andor is next, isn't it?
Andor comes out. I feel like there's something that's coming out in December, but I'm not sure.
Hold on, let's see here.
Just my travels, I was in Wisconsin for my niece's daughter's second birthday, and I got to spend and have lunch with Paul Hart and his kids, Emmett and Hazel.
So, nice.
Yeah, we went to the park, and let's see, Emmett was in timeout, I think, three times while we were there? Paul's like, oh, I look like a great dad. I'm like, it's freaking boys, man, you know? So, but we did that, and then we went to eat, and then I gave everybody a few little gifts and everything. So it was a nice few hours that we spent together there, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is with She-Hulk, we have Andor starting on September 21st.
Okay.
Star Wars The Bad Batch starting September
28th. No, I didn't know that.
Tales of the Jedi just fall 2022, so I'm not sure exactly when they're dropping that. Marvel's What If Season 2 to be determined. 2022.
That's what I thought I read someplace that they were going to drop that in December.
Fucking Three Men and a Baby's remake. Oh, give me a fucking break.
Oh God, I didn't even know they were doing that.
Oh,
if Steve Gutenberg's not in it,
wait,
I'm not watching it.
Who's the Three Men?
It was in this new one, I have no clue. Right. Did you guys hear about the fucking spinoff of Ferris Bueller?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not even any of the main characters. And one of the characters that played one of the dudes is actually dead. They're making a spinoff of the guys who fucking, the parking attendants who lifted the Ferrari for the afternoon. Like, oh, fucking seriously.
That's like a D-list character.
There was two dudes, and one of the dudes that was the parking attendant ended up dying, and they're like, let's make a spinoff of this.
Was it the main guy who was like, we're professionals? Is that the guy who died or the other
dude? I think so.
That guy's the main guy. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. I fucking heard that today. I was watching, it was like Good Morning America, and they're like, one of the anchors' fucking favorite movies was Ferris Bueller's, and they're announcing the spinoff and shit. And he's like, interesting. I'll check it out. I'm like, the fucking John Landis, the dude who fucking wrote and directed that movie, wouldn't fucking pay to watch that. Are you fucking out of your mind? Jeez. Oh, watch it. Fucking shill. Asshole.
So... But isn't that being made by, is it somebody who just had a recent success? Was it the people? Was it not the person who did Prey? Or it was
No.
Is it the She-Hulk? It was somebody with something very recent.
That I don't know.
Okay. I'll look it up while you...
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Before we move on. So I've searched a couple of different articles about Three Men and a Baby remake, and the only only name that they ever keep saying that's being attached to this is Zac Efron.
Oh, God.
Somebody named Mo Marable is going to be the director. And it's going to Disney Plus, and they just keep saying Zac Efron.
And the other thing is the Cobra Kai directors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a weird decision.
Yeah, it is.
I guarantee you, if this Three Men and a Baby if it's any way successful, start the clock on the countdown to them announcing My Two Dads remake, a reboot of My Two Dads.
Oh, fuck.
Remember that with Paul Reiser?
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's basically the same concept. Yep. Two dads raising, two straight single guys raising a daughter. The Three Men and a Baby was three guys raising a daughter. So it's going to be the same fucking thing.
That's again, crazy. If Steve Gutenberg's not in it, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I ain't watching it.
Fuck that. Bring Tom Selleck back. He's still on. He's still active.
He's still making that fucking Blue Bloods money. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. He's fucking making Blue Bloods, cashing an easy paycheck, and doing fucking commercials for like
the Penn reverse Life mortgage
or some shit. Yeah,
reverse mortgage.
Oh my God, good call. Reverse mortgages. Oh, that's fantastic.
If it's good enough for me, isn't it good enough for you?
Yeah, because I'm sure Tom Selleck's really doing
mortgages. Tom Selleck really needs a reverse mortgage.
Exactly. Yeah.
Holy shit.
God.
Oh my God. Well, talking about bad life decisions, fucking what we all knew was coming has come to pass. Fucking Ezra Miller's going to rehab, going to do the apology tour.
Dunk called it.
He did.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. Call me a cynical bastard.
It's not cynical. Like, honestly, fucking Warner Brothers should just be done. This is that, like, everyone knows this is a publicity stunt. That's the worst part, is that everyone knows that there's no real rehab involved. They're really just doing this to get the fucking movie out and kind of get, like, not lose their shirt on the fucking fact that they made this movie. Because the fact that you've already canceled Batgirl and fucking, like, they're just canceling shit left and right. The smart thing to do is cancel this fucking movie, too. But they're like, no. I will fucking die on the hill that Ezra Miller has blackmail on every executive at Discovery Warner Brothers. Because there's no fucking way any person in their right mind would not be shutting this shit down or finding a way to change the lead actor.
Well, again, they are so far into it. You know, they are so they, you know, they say they're the Batgirl thing is going to be a big, you know, tax write-off. And they're also, the other story from this past week is all of the other things are canceling or basically putting into the loss column to build up this giant loss to offset anything else they want to pay taxes, basically. So you always file the money. I was on Reddit, and I was this one thread, and it was about Ezra Miller, and this was like the pro Ezra Miller thread, and they were like, yeah, listen to this. They're like, yeah, I heard that the test screenings it scored the highest, and there's cameos by Adam West and Linda Carter. I was like, what? I mean, these people were deluded in this thread, dude. I have to take a screenshot and send it to you. It was unbelievable. They're like, yeah, it should be the best movie. These are probably like Snyder verse people type thing. So, but it was very comical to read it.
Oh my God. That's
whatever. I mean, it's getting boring bashing the WB and DC, but I just do not understand what the vision is. They don't want to hold on to the Snyderverse. They're gonna let that go. But they they're still sticking with Ezra Miller, who is clearly a flash of the Snyderverse. The only thing I can, only thing that I can see is that the Flash, and I think it's supposed to be a Flashpoint movie, they need this to reboot their whole universe.
Well, didn't that come out too, that they're fucking rebooting the universe again, and like that was why they pulled Batgirl and all that shit? Well, so they're like,
well, there was another story that, and this is the one I do believe it, is that because of everything that's going on with this Flash movie, that they are looking at Black Adam as a kind of a bridge point, and they said they filmed another an additional post credit scene, which is supposed to, I don't know if that's the Henry Cavill. I don't know if that's going to be the Henry Cavill thing.
I heard that the additional post credit was to reintroduce Henry Cavill to the
So
I don't believe it though.
I don't buy that bullshit either. I really don't. If you're resetting the universe, then you need to fucking hard reset. You can't keep doing this fucking, well, let's soft reset it and use some of this and not use this, and like, just fucking reset, be done with it. Yeah. Or just fucking sell the entire DC property to fucking Disney. At this point, I don't care. Warner Brothers needs to be done with it and stop trying to act like they're even remotely close to being in the superhero business, because they just are not. And it Dunk's right. It gets fucking old trashing them. It really fucking does. Like, I hate coming on every time we record and just being like, fuck Warner Brothers. But, like, they constantly give you reasons to do it. It's fucking mind-bending how bad they are. Fucking mind-bending. Oh, my God. That being said, actually, there's some kind of sad news. The kid who plays Jonathan Kent Jordan, Elsis, I don't know how you say his last name, is leaving the show due to personal reasons. He just mentally couldn't handle it, was fucking super stressed out, just kind of taxed, sounded like he was having issues and needed a break to get away from things. So I, like, it, as the character, fucking loved him. I think he really brought that character to life. Yeah, like, lived in that skin. So I'm super bummed he's leaving, but I'm super glad that he recognized that he needed help and that he's doing what he needs to get that help.
Yeah, that's gonna be, man, he's gonna be a tough one to replace. He's such a unique character, and you know how his delivery is and everything. Like, if the same thing happened with, what's her name, the girl, the Lana's daughter.
Yeah,
I don't think that would be a big deal.
Nope.
I don't know. But
I actually wouldn't mind if Jordan got recast either, but I don't mind him now at this point. But Jonathan was like the one kid character that I really enjoyed his performance. But would it be a kicker couple years down the road? Warner Brothers actually fucking resets their DC universe and he comes in and plays a fucking phenomenal Flash.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. Don't see it.
Well, that sucks, but I wish that kid the best. I enjoyed his performance on Superman and Lois, so hope he gets better. Hope he gets the help he needs, and at least he's taking the right steps instead of waiting to fucking be the star of a big movie and then go kidnap a bunch of people and beat up women.
Start a cult.
Fucking take off to Vermont to hide out. Fucking, that's what, another reason why I hate that fucking state. Like, seriously, you go to, no one's going to expect any weird shit happening in Vermont because it's all fucking weird shit in Vermont. He fucking belongs there. Fucking idiot. So, I will do my real quick review of Thor and Love and Thunder because I was not here for you guys. But to be very, very honest, you guys nailed just about everything I was feeling on that movie. That was as meh of a movie as I've watched in a long time. I felt a little too over-the-top Taika Waititi. Just the jokes were fucking crammed in there and they weren't that funny. I really disliked Russell Crowe's version of Zeus.
Oh my God, it was horrible.
Oh, it was fucking brutal, man. It was just too much. But it wasn't fucking horrible. You know what I mean? It was like just a fucking straight Padawan. Like, I could probably watch Love and Thunder more than I'd be able to watch Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
But not much. Like, honestly, they're fucking super mid on the MCU scale. I enjoyed it. I actually really liked Natalie Portman's The Mighty Thor. I loved that portrayal. I thought it was just done really good. And how she fucking ended it. Fucking chef's kiss. I loved it. But as far as the movie as a whole, just fucking meh. I was so underwhelmed. It's really sad.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and I really think if they, the one thing they could have done to make the movie better, one thing they could have added is, I really think, unfortunately, that this Thor is tied to Loki so much that I think his absence was what was really missing. Because if
that's that, a good call.
If you're gonna go the comedic route with Thor, you need Loki for him to kind of play off of. And yeah. I think if they had Loki in there, it would have given it the right amount, a balance of comedy. And because I was thinking about it after we recorded, I was like, what could have made it had better? Obviously, if they had tamped down the comedy, it would have been much better. But if they were going to keep that comedy, try to keep that Ragnarok feel with the comedy, they had to have had Loki in it. And he didn't have to be like the main villain. He could have been in it for a little while because, of course, he has his own thing going on. But I really think he was missing here.
Yeah, it's almost, I get what you're saying. He almost needs a straight man to play off of. If you're going to play Thor as comedic, he needs to have a straight man to balance the movie. And I think they tried it with Jane, but I think even Jane had, like, wasn't enough of a straight man. Like, she was really, like, forcing that fucking catchphrase thing throughout the whole movie where I was just like, okay, it got kind of old. Valkyrie wasn't really playing straight man to Thor at all. So, yeah, I think had it just been reined in with the comedy and you, like, either make fucking Jane the straight man, Valkyrie the straight man, or fucking throw Loki in there. But you're right, there's something missing with that dynamic where someone like Loki would have really helped that movie a lot. And fucking Zeus. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with that. That was one of the dumbest fucking portrayals I've seen in a long time. Like, I don't think it was Russell Crowe's fault. I literally, this is like Tycho just like fucking off the rails writing a character. And to me, it just didn't fucking work at all.
When does that hit Disney Plus?
It should be coming out soon. I think
it should
be
this week, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit. Wow. Has been a while, hasn't it? Fuck. Let's see. We've all watched the first episode of She-Hulk. Real quick thoughts. I really actually enjoyed it. I know what Joe's going to bring up, and I'm going to fucking agree with him now. I won't even say what it is, but I know what he's going to say. I think the CGI needs work. Like, I don't... For Hulk, I think you can kind of hide it with the scruff, but the fact that her face is so smooth kind of throws me off. Like, I don't know. The CGI just isn't that tight. But overall, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I would have liked to see her not be so... I got it right away. Like, I would have liked to see a little more effort put into it. But other than that, like, I get what they're trying to do. They're just trying to fucking fast track it so they can tell the actual story and, like, blow through a fucking... the main origin. And I'm fine with that. So, overall, super enjoyed it. Like, looking forward to how this season shakes out. But I'm not, like, ready to be like, oh my god, this is amazing. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Ms. Marvel, it was a good first episode. It was... Mm-hmm. Enjoyable. I like the fourth wall breaking. Yeah, CGI could be a little bit wonky, but I thought it was well paced. I liked the whole story about, you know, catching us up to present day type thing.
Yeah.
And but I'm, like you said, I loved the first episode of Ms. Marvel, and I didn't as it progressed along. So that's what concerns me. And I've kind of read some comments about stuff that's coming up, and I don't know how it's going to go over, you know?
Yeah.
So, but they really need to keep it pretty, you know, light and fun and with some good action. Now, I know at the end of that episode with, whatever her name is that supposed to be Titania or whatever?
Yeah.
That's awful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just looked like some streetwalker broke in. You know what I mean? I don't know why that, it's just weird. Yeah. And I guess she's coming back. I don't think that was the only episode she's going to be in. So, and I guess we're going to see Daredevil at some point. We've seen that in the trailers. So that'll be cool. We're going to see Abomination. And, you know, hopefully there's some other Easter eggs and things like that. But,
yeah,
it was, I enjoyed the first episode. I was surprised. I did enjoy the first episode.
Yeah, I don't know. This was really good. It was better than I expected. And just so a little background story, I got a new TV, for the first 4K TV I've ever had.
Oh,
so I watched this on 4K. I didn't even, honestly, I was so caught up in the story, I didn't even really notice the CGI. So it couldn't have been that bad. I think I noticed the improvements that they did, but I didn't notice the flaws. So I personally think that the comedy was great, the story was great. I love the action of the fight between the Hulks was great. The fourth wall break, they didn't overuse it. They only did it like twice or something like that, which was perfect. And it was subtle, like, you know, it was quick. It wasn't like they weren't trying to outdo Deadpool with the fourth wall break, which was great.
Right.
And yeah, the character Titania, she did look a little crazy. But listen, if we suffered through a whole season of from Titans of Starfire looking like a streetwalker.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah. So we could deal with her for like a half a second or half a scene or whatever. Hopefully she'll get better. And honestly, I've heard that the show gets better, like, because a couple of reviewers got to view the first four episodes, and they pretty much everyone that I've saw said that it gets better. So I think it started off pretty strong. So I'm really looking for it. I wouldn't say it's the the best Marvel series on Disney Plus yet, because there's only been one episode. But I really enjoyed it. I think the light tone and the humor, the comedy, and I think they even did a good job of kind of framing, like, because there were a couple of YouTubers, of course, that were like, oh, this is going to be a woke series because of, you know, there's a female and she's going to be in a trailer, the first couple of trailers, she was talking about females being angry and all that stuff. And I was like, that, I think they did that really well. And it was like quite understandable. Like, yeah, you know what? Your females probably do deal with that all the time. That anger, that angst, that stress. So it made sense. So I'm loving it.
I actually, Joe, I thought you were going to bring up the fact that you didn't understand why her hair changed.
Oh, that
from
I was corrected. I was corrected by Brooke. That's apparently that happens in the comics. But
are you serious?
Apparently.
Okay. Wait, what do you mean her hair changed?
Well, she goes from curly hair, like, to straight.
Yeah, like, it's like shoulder length curly hair. And oh, then when she's the Hulk, it's like long and fucking wavy, and it goes down to her fucking ass.
Yeah, it does happen in the comic. I mean, I'm not a huge comic book fan of a reader of She-Bulk. I mostly followed her when she was on the Fantastic Four. But yeah, when she transformed to Jennifer Walters, her hair was like basically just shoulder length. It was stringy brown. She was really very small, very like, I think the actress who portrayed her looks better than the comic book character. So, I mean, yeah, the comic book character. So yeah, that's definitely what happened. Like when she transforms, everything, like the hair, the muscular tone, the boobs, everything gets exaggerated and bigger.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. Cool. We've all seen Prey, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you don't know, Prey was on Hulu. It's a sequel to, like, or a prequel to Predator, about them coming down to the Comanche Nation and fucking taking out the Comanches, bears, and fucking trappers and shit. Which, to be honest, like, that's a super unfair fight. Like, come on. The fucking Predator's got every technological advantage on his side, and these people are, like, fucking 1800s, fucking don't know shit about technology and are supposed to fight this fucking Predator, but whatever. That being said, it was fun. It was as close to the first one as you're going to get in tone. And I really enjoyed it. I liked how, like, authentic it felt. Like, if he's going to fight a bear and, like, try to go hand-to-hand for a little while, like, that's fucking badass. Like, they're just great fucking moments. But that's, like, that was it. Like, I think it was kind of a, what's the right word? Kind of bland storyline. Like, you knew how it was going to end. There wasn't really any mystery into it. Like, it was super predictable, but it was still fun. I would give it a high Padawan.
Totally. I love this movie. This was a good, like you said, it was a very close homage to the first one, the original one, the best Predator movie that's come along probably since the second one with Danny Glover. Mm-hmm. And I just think it was a perfect prequel. It was, you're right, there were no surprises, but I mean, there really weren't any surprises with the first one. You know, the only surprise was how many of the crew was going to survive, which you know. So, and you knew they weren't going to kill off the main protagonist in this movie. So, yeah. I think the story that they told, the the action choreography was good. I love that one scene where the predator like kills a bear and the blood like spills
dripping
out
down.
And that's how you get to kind of first see the predator for the first time. Like, that was cool. I know why it got released on Hulu, but I think if it was if it went to theaters, it would have been a huge success. Definitely would have been a better summer blockbuster movie than I think most of the summer movies blockbusters that came out this summer.
Yeah, I think it would have done better than Bullet Train for sure. To be honest, like.
Which, well, I did not see. I wanted to see it, but then I heard the reviews were like really hard.
Oh, I've heard it's just been getting trashed. I'm like, I'm not even gonna bother.
Yeah, I'll wait for that to come on. I was actually gonna go the opening weekend. I was looking forward to seeing. I was like, it's not gonna be like an Oscar caliber movie, but it'll be something. Hopefully, it'll be something fun. But no, it doesn't look like it.
All right. Joe, what did
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. It was was not expecting it. The crime about this movie is you don't see it in a theater, and because the sound design on this is unbelievable. Like, even mm-hmm. with my surround sound, it's great. And then it's really, if you start playing things again and just, you know, put like your headphones on or your you know, earbuds or whatever, it's so good. I mean, the sound when she's got, you know, that with the hatchet and all the other things, you know, again, some wonky, you know, bear CGI was a little wonky. That's fine. But it was a great story. And I love how they built up to the predator, kind of like what they did in the original movie. It, you know, this is what happens when you don't say, let's make a predator movie, you know, and then have him do all this stuff, and then we'll figure out a story so he can do all that stuff. You know, right. This story made sense, and it was so unexpected. And I think, like I said, if it was out in theater, because of the positive word of mouth, it would have done very well. I don't know how much this movie cost, but I think this was a big misstep. Like, I think,
yeah,
my gut is, because of how good it is, that they may do like a one weekend only in theaters, and I'll go see it in theater because it was so good. And I do like how it was, the Predator was kind of matched, you know, his technology wasn't as advanced as we saw it in the 80s,
right?
So which was cool. And I do like they did a twist on that, the whole thing with the mud, because I'm like, oh wow, she's gonna get it. She's in the quicksand, the mud's gonna be on her, and that's why he's not gonna see her. And it's like the other movie. Well, they didn't do that, and they used what happened to her in, you know, she used her brains and in to trap that predator with that and another thing. So yeah, it was so much fun. I think I'm gonna rewatch it in the Comanche version, because I think that would be really cool. I know some people have, and it's just a different.
I didn't even know there was a Comanche
version. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Wait. So what is a Comanche? So it's just the audio. They
speak Comanche, and then you get subtitles.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So this is total Jedi. This is like the low. You know, from if you relate to Wolverine, this is like the Logan of Predator.
Yeah,
it's a prequel.
Yes.
It's back to basics. He's not on screen a lot. And
very gritty. It's like kind of like a gritty, visceral type movie. I agree with you.
Yeah. So.
All right. I will let me go off on a couple things that I watched. Trainwreck on Netflix is about the Woodstock 99 catastrophe. Which, if you watch the Music Box on HBO, they had their version of it. I really like this documentary. Like, both versions of it portray the producers of this as such fucking scumbags. It is amazing how fucking irresponsible these two dudes were that were like really put it on and put it together and shit. And they just show, like, both docs showed what scumbags they were. It was amazing. But as much as I enjoyed it, I really wish that these two docs could live together. And, like, because there was stuff in the HBO one that the one on Netflix didn't have, and vice versa, and it would have been nice to have it all in, like, one entire doc. But they just, that being said, again, it's fucking mind-bending that you would do that to those people. Like, they just gave them the worst conditions. Put them in, like, the hottest weekend of the year. It was, like, 95 to 100 degrees. They're on nothing but blacktop. And this is 1999, mind you. And they were fucking selling bottles of water for $4. $4 in 1999 for a bottle of water.
Oh, my God.
That's fucking out of control today. Could you imagine back in 1999? And they were selling dollar beers. Like, people brought in enough beer and were selling people beer for a buck. What would you drink? Like, you're right. Just fucking inviting a catastrophe to happen. It was disgusting. It was just so great.
Did they speak on the shit pit where people
were? No, and actually they kept showing it, and I kept thinking that they were going to bring it up, and they never did. Again, there were like, so that portion of the HBO doc where they were talking about DMX and all that whole sea of white kids just shouting the N-word back to DMX, like. That I wanted to see in this Netflix documentary. I wanted to see the shit pit in this Netflix documentary, because the Netflix had so much that wasn't in the HBO one. But then you also have vice versa, that if you just crammed them together, it would be a huge documentary, and it would be fucking just jam-packed with just the fucking absolute chaos and dumb shit that went on for those 3 days, because it is, you can see it before the show even happens, how fucked it is. It reminds me of that Fire Island doc that Hulu and Netflix.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Firefest.
Like, yeah. They both had like that fucking like shit that each other left out, and it would have been nice to just have them both together and just be able to watch everything and see what a colossal fucktard kind of fucking shit show it was. It was amazing. I totally suggest you watch it, and you will just be amazed at what fucking scumbags the guys who organized this show were. I could not believe that they willfully fucking interviewed for these things, where I'm like, do you think you look good? Like, he literally fucking rape shamed some chick. He's like, well, she shouldn't have been fucking dancing like that. She shouldn't have been naked. Like, what? It was just fucking crazy. I sat there, I was fucking gobsmacked that this dude was just so fucking, nothing was his fault. Nothing. I'm like, he still thinks it was a fucking raging success. I'm like, oh, you're a fucking maniac. You got to watch it.
I'll check that out just for the comparison's sake.
Yeah, I mean, for if nothing else, it really is an interesting look, and I really love those together. I watched Day Shift, which was the fucking JB Fox Vampire Hunter. Dude, so corny, so over the top, but so good. Like, it is dumb as fuck. Like, it does not take itself seriously.
That's what I heard.
But it's just serious enough that it's fun. And you're just like, all right, if you go along for the ride, you won't be disappointed. Just a blast of a movie. Like, it felt kind of like an 80s vampire flick, just kind of updated a little bit. Snoop Dogg's in it, so that fucking, you got to watch it just for that. Snoop Dogg was fantastic. Ass kicker. I forget how fucking tall he is. And then you see him in this movie, and he just fucking towers over everybody. But yeah, that, I totally had a great time. That is a high Padawan all day. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. It was just fun. Just fun. And I also watched Lightyear. It was okay. It wasn't like, for all the weird criticisms it was getting, none of that bothered me. It just wasn't a great movie. It was good. But it wasn't interesting. It wasn't like, I don't know.
There's no reason. There's no reason for it. It's like, okay. Not really. Yeah.
Yeah. There really is no reason for it, but it's not like, you eventually find out who Zorg is or Zurg is, and fucking, it's kind of weird and convoluted, but it's like supposed to be why Andy wanted the Buzz Lightyear that he got because of this movie. This is the movie you saw that fucking made him fall in love with Buzz. So that's the premise behind it. And then it's just kind of weirdly convoluted and everything, but it's all right. It's all right. It's probably a straight Padawan. You don't go out of your way to see it, but if you happen to just be like, fuck it, why not? It's an hour and a half. You won't get it back, but you won't have lost much.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that it's an obvious cash grab to try to extend the franchise, and you scratch your head like, that's the way they wanted to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't see it, so I'm not criticizing the movie, but I just don't see the need for the Toy Story, anything else would, like, it was the perfect, they should have stopped at 3, but they went to 4, and they, against all odds, I think they actually did a decent job with 4. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the greatest, but you should have just bowed out like that, just left the franchise alone, let it just, you know, go there. But
yeah,
I mean, can't resist, man. Money.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's really what it was. Joe, what have you watched that we have not yet talked about?
That we both haven't seen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I just finished up the final season of Better Call Saul. And I love the show. It's when this show first, when they announced it, when it first came out, I said, that's a fucking cash grab. Like, there's no story that you can tell that's going to make it as good as Breaking Bad, or, you know, to be in that same universe, but they did it. It's just a fascinating show. I think I've watched the series. I think I've watched it 3 times, and I was super interested in how they were going to tie up the loose ends. And I did not think, I mean, they did, they had, Walter and Jesse on there, and they had Hank's widow and all these things, and it all made sense. And it's just a phenomenal show. And I didn't know. So at the end of the show, there's going to be a new series in 2023 with Bob Odenkirk on AMC, and there's going to be one with Giancarlo Esposito. So
really?
Yeah, but not related to this, but just their own series. So I have no idea what they're about, and I have to find it out. But Better Call Saul, again, all the good, you know, they did the right amount of cameos of bringing, you know, Breaking Bad characters in and things like that. It's just, it was so good. And it's interesting, like they were jumping from, you know, the past to the present, to another period, and like the past or the future was black and white. I mean, it was just really, it's just the way they shoot this show, the cinematography is just so cool if you look at it. So love, love, love Better Call Saul. I watched Operation Mincemeat. And because I'm so I love World War II stuff. Okay. I like literally every night I watched, you know, to go to sleep, I watch World War II stuff. And so this, really? I do. I swear to God. It's either that or like Animal Planet, you know, things like you don't have to pay attention to. Right. But I like watching black and white stuff. So, but this movie is about, it's what really happened in England, where the Allies were going to invade Sicily, but they wanted to convince Hitler that they were going to invade Greece. Okay. And okay. So they did this elaborate thing with a body that washed up and they planted documents. It was really interesting. I had no idea about this part of history, and it's true. I don't know, you know, 100% of it being true, right. But the basics of it is true. That's exactly what happened. And it's Jason Isaacs is in it a little bit. I think Colin Firth, I can't remember the lady's name. She was in Boardwalk Empire. Kelly McDonald. But again, if you like World War II stuff and want something different, it's a good movie. I give it a high Padawan. So,
nice.
The dude who plays Churchill is pretty good too. Couple of quick Apple TV Plus stuff. Loot with, man, with Maya Rudolph. So this is a story about, so it'd be similar to like Jeff Bezos and his getting him and his wife getting divorced, and she gets, you know, a ton of money, and that she's doesn't realize that she has like a philanthropy under her name. And so she gets involved in that and things kind of go haywire. And what?
Nothing. Sorry.
Okay. But it's actually pretty good. It's not the best. It was renewed for season two. So there's some funny things in it. It's kind of a Padawan. It's an all right show. And same thing with Physical season two. I didn't like it as much as season one. I think season one had a much tighter story and of her, you know, starting out and what she was, you know, what she wanted to do and, you know, all her little personal setbacks and everything. And this one's kind of all over the board. And I really don't know where it's wanted to go. I know they're going to eventually get to the, and this was renewed. I know they're going to get to the point where we saw it in season one where she is a successful, you know, like the Jane Fonda type person, but you know, we have to get there. So, and I think
speaking of Physical, RIP Olivia Newton-John.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Cancer, man.
It's been a lot. I know like every year there's a bunch of people die, celebrities, but it just seems like this year there's been a lot, like with Ray Liotta, Paul Sorvino.
Fuck.
Who's the other mobster guy that died? There was three of them. I forget. It's Ray Liotta, Paul Sorvino, somebody else. Oh my God. I'm blanking on a name, but there's just been a bunch of celebrity deaths this year.
Yeah.
It's what happens when you get old. Fucking everyone starts dying. You're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And the rest of it, you know, Sandman and For All Mankind, I think we've both seen.
Yeah.
We've all seen Sandman, right?
I just started it last night.
Okay.
I saw the first two episodes, and you know, if we're gonna talk about, I'm hooked. I'm gonna watch it. I'm off this week, so I'm definitely gonna be watching a bunch of shit, and that's the first thing I'm gonna watch.
Okay. Dunk, have you watched that we have not yet?
Oh, the guy that played Paulie Walnuts. That's who it was. The third guy. That
oh, that's right.
I forget that's his name, but the only thing that I watched that we haven't brought up yet was I watched a movie. Well, I attempted to. I don't know. I was really bored. I attempted to watch Moonfall.
Oh my.
Oh
God. Oh my God.
Oh wow.
I mean, it's pretty rare that there's a disaster movie that I cannot get through. Disaster movies are kind of like my like go-to guilty pleasure, where I'll just put it on and just kind of like zone out. As a matter of fact, I literally was watching Titanic yesterday. It was on Pluto. And I think that half of the movie, where the ship starts to sink, I think is probably one of the greatest disaster movies out there. Like, there's a bunch of them, but I enjoy it. I've watched it numerous times. Disaster movies are my thing. This movie was so fucking retarded, and I know you're not supposed to use the R word anymore, but fuck it. There is no other word that applies. It was retarded. It made no fucking sense. The people, Halle Berry, Michael Pena, Don, everybody in this movie, you could tell they would have been anywhere else. They would have been sitting in a fucking torture chamber in fucking Bangkok, getting their fingernails pulled out, rather than be in this movie. It was horrible. I didn't even see the last hour of it. I went online and just watched read the synopsis just to see if they really was as bad as they was in as it was trending. And it was. It was horrible. Do not do it to yourself. Roland Emmerich should be fucking ashamed of himself. I know he kind of likes to do these like big budget, big scenery, big CGI disaster flick where, you know, heroes like ordinary people are put into these crazy situations and pulled through. And the pinnacle of that, I think, was Independence Day.
Yep.
He is so far from that. So very far from that in this movie. It was bad. It was really, really fucking bad. Complete dumpster fire. Not even a Jar Jar. Dumpster fire of a movie. The other thing I saw, which was a complete 180 from that, was 13 Lives. Which is a movie that was based on it was a movie directed by Ron Howard that told the story of the 12 boys and the coach that were from Thailand, and they went into the caves to explore, and then the monsoon season started and they got trapped in the caves, and it was like they were like 6 miles away from like the entrance of the cave, which it's just impossible to understand how far they got. And it tells a story of how they had to rescue them. And world news, and you kind of knew. I didn't follow it that closely. But when I watched the movie, I didn't realize everything that they had to do to save these kids. They basically, to save them, they had to, it was such a narrow, like passageway that only one or two divers could get through at a time. You had to be like a professional diver to really get through it. So the only way that they were able to get these kids out was they actually had to put them under anesthesia.
Oh Jesus.
Oh and, Jesus and, Christ.
Yeah, because it was like they had to be underwater for like 5 hours. That's how deep they were in. That's how the twists and turns of the route that they had to get them out. So this British Navy SEAL professional divers who were expertly played by Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell. They were the ones that figured out how to get the how to go in, and they first found them, and they found them alive, and they then they figured out how to get them out, and they got every single one of them out, and the only one, the only fatality was actually one of the Thailand's Navy SEALs, a professional military guy. He died, but they got them all out, and it was an amazing story. Like you. It was kind of like the movie with the miners in Mexico that got trapped and they had to dig them out.
Mm-hmm.
This was well acted. The kids that played it were believable. They were in there for like 18 days. I think it took them to get them out from start to finish. And then it also there was like this whole other side story where this village that was on the other side of the cave. They basically sacrificed their farmlands and their crops so that they could help try to divert some of the water because there was so much rain coming in that no matter what they did, it just kept flooding. So the villagers all band together to divert the water. It was a really great story. It's on Prime. It's like 2 hours, a little bit over 2 hours and change. I would recommend it. It's a great movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead. That's it?
Yep, that was it.
I forgot to bring up fucking Blackbird on Apple Plus. Oh my god. Holy shit. This what? Had
Blackbird?
What the fuck is that?
Blackbird. It's fucking Taron Egerton, the kid who played in The Kingsman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He plays this fucking drug dealer who has like a ton of guns and shit. And shit goes south and he gets arrested, gets thrown in jail and all this shit, gets a bad deal. And in order to reduce his sentence, he has to go to another prison, a more maximum security prison, and get the serial killer to admit where he buried bodies. And it's played, the serial killer is played by Paul Walter Hauser. He was like one of the dudes in fucking the big fucking fat dude in like Cruella and shit, like just a sloppy looking dude. Fucking creepy as fuck performance. Oh my god, it was terrifying. Such a good show.
How come I've never heard this?
I would see it for fucking ads on like either Ted Lasso or any or fucking whatever for All Mankind, whatever, like the first season of it or maybe the second season. And I kept saying, I really fucking want to watch that because I really like Taron Egerton. And I really think that fucking MCU needs to cast him as Wolverine to get him this young. That dude is jacked. And you cannot tell me he would not play a good Wolverine. Like, you will not convince me otherwise. He's fucking perfect. And this role proves it. I just saw ads for it. It was like, fuck it, one day I'm going to put it on. And, oh my god, so worth my while. It is expertly done. It's just, it is a Jedi. It is fucking just magnificent. It's worth like every hour you watch it. Greg Kinnear's in it. It just, you would love this show. It's kind of like one of those like Mindhunter shows, or it just super fun, well acted.
Is it got like some of the prison stuff, like the Mayor of Kingstown vibe?
Kinda. Okay. It's not quite as violent and like craziness, but it's more psychological.
Okay, terrifying. That's why it's like Mindhunter. Gotcha.
And then me and Joe have both watched season 3 for All Mankind while we stay on Apple Plus because, oh my god, what an amazing fucking season. Like, I am so invested in this. This is the only show that I can think of that has progressively gotten better and better in each episode. And, like, there isn't ever a lull. There's never just a, okay, fuck it. There is always something going on.
And you always get and you always get like a good cliffhanger of an episode, like multiple episodes. It's not just at the end of the season or the penultimate episode. It's like every week.
Yes. Oh, and it's so wonderfully acted. It is. I know they're not on Mars. I fucking know that they are not on Mars. But it fucking feels like they are on Mars. Like, I buy into that show all the fucking way. It is your recommendation to that show changed my life. This is by far my favorite show. I am so pissed that we have to wait until season four. You don't ever want it to end, but it's so good. The way they ended up the season was just fucking jaw-dropping. Yeah. Absolutely jaw-dropping.
Yeah, and just, again, so many... Yeah, special effects are great on this show. So I know exactly what you're saying. And, yeah, I love how the story evolved with the you know, like the private guy versus the Russians versus NASA, and then what happened with that. I mean, God, man, you think back to the beginning of the season, it's like, again, every episode has got like this amazing action sequence cliffhanger.
Yep.
And you don't have to be, you don't have to like space or anything like that to like this show, because it's the characters are great, the storyline's great, special effects are great, the action's great. I mean, yeah, this is a show I wish they would like tack on a couple more episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's, again, I keep saying it's like the best show that no one is watching, because I don't hear anybody talking about it.
Never. And it I'm not even kidding. It is easily the most engaging, engrossing show that you could possibly watch. And it doesn't seem like the first couple of episodes that you're like, oh, okay, whatever. The minute it grabs you, you're fucking hooked. And I'm not kidding when I say it just gets better and better and better with every episode. It's so well crafted of a show in every aspect. The way they leave each season cliffhanger. So like, I think, what was it, season one, when they fucking showed the fucking big missile or the big rocket coming out of the ocean, and you're just like, holy shit, oh my god, I can't wait. They do that every season. Like, the way they ended this season, you know they have something planned, and you just want to keep going. It is such a well done show. Dunk, you so need to watch this.
Is it coming back for season four?
Yes.
Oh, it's, I could, at this point, I could care less if you ever watch Ted Lasso. I've given up on that on that dream forever. But this is a show that, I'm not even kidding, you will be gripped by. It is, Joe's right, you don't need, it's not about NASA. It's really about, like, the competition between everybody and everybody's story and how they're dealing with all these different situations and how the story evolves. And when they do these time jumps, you think you're going to get lost, but they just bring you along effortlessly. It's such a well done show, man. You would so appreciate it. Actually, I just got to say real quick, I also did a real rewatch of Kenobi with my wife. That fucking show, another masterpiece. That last episode is all I ever need from Star Wars ever again. That show made me so fucking happy. So the last thing that we've all kind of seen, Dunk started, me and Joe have finished, is The Sandman. And having watched the full season, I can give my rating of A Jedi. I fucking loved it. It was out there. It was just fucking trippy as shit. But once you catch on and you start following things and things make more and more sense, it really drags you in. And it's such a weird fucking world. And some of the shit that they bring up in this show is just fucking gross and disturbing. And you're just like, what the fuck? Well done. I have never read the comic. I have heard it's fairly faithful to the comic, but I really couldn't tell you. I don't care. It is so good. I had such a good time. I fucking Jedi'd that whole season.
Joe?
So, I never read the comic. This was always one of those comics that I thought was trying to be like, we're so smart and you won't get it type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really didn't have any desire to watch this. I just figured I had some time. I was on the plane and all that kind of stuff. And the first half, I can't remember how many episodes this was, 9 or 10, but the first half is A Jedi for me. I love the way it was going. I love the story they set up, the villains. I love the diner episode. I love the episode where he's following Death around, and then I love the thing about the guy every 100 years, and you'll get to that, Doug. But and again, from what I've heard, this follows the comic, so that may be exactly what happens in the comics. But it's just all of a sudden the series goes from one villain, and then it just goes 90 degrees and it goes in a whole other direction. And I thought I like missed an episode. Maybe I wasn't paying attention enough, but I didn't really care for the latter half episodes, but the first half stuff, special effects and all the CG, it was just beautiful. And the story was great. And I loved everything they did, but so it's a solid show. And I'm pretty sure it's got a season two. So,
well,
I'll give it a high Padawan overall.
I did read that if Netflix bails on it, Neil Gaiman has the right to shop it continuing as is with other places. So
it's a Warner Brothers production. If it could only go to a streaming service where Warner Brothers has an ownership, I don't know where it would go though.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't Ted Lasso's isn't that a Warner Brothers one too?
It is.
That's
yeah.
But back
to the problem. I don't get it. Dunk, what did you think of the first two episodes?
Oh man, you said that, you know, the show pulled you in right away, and you're absolutely right. And it usually takes me a while to get involved, to get into them. And I was hooked from the first 5 or 10 minutes of this show and of this series, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it play out. I've heard great things about it. Friends of mine have said, "Oh, this is great." They binged it. I'm not a binger. I really can't sit down and watch something four or five hours at a time unless it's like really, really good. So I'm doing this like probably 2 or 3 episodes at a time. So, but like I said, I'm off this week, so I'm definitely going to be knocking off a bunch of things. And this is the first thing I'm going to knock off. So I Jedi the first two episodes, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Did you guys hear that they dropped a bonus episode?
Yeah, I watched that as well. It was all right. It's okay. It's okay. It's an interesting story and kind of... So the first story that they do, it's not connected to the show
necessarily. Okay, that was what my question was going to be.
Yeah, it gives a little bit more of Dream's story, but it doesn't really fucking it doesn't make an impact on anything that you've already watched or will watch in that season. But it is interesting. Like the first story is kind of weird and it seems out of place. The second story kind of ends up making more sense and connects to the Sandman world a little bit more. Maybe eventually that first story will come back in. Otherwise, it was just a weird kind of thing. But I think the second part of the episode is really good, but again, I'm not sure entirely how it will connect to the world going forward.
And Joe, I agree with you. Like, I didn't read the comic book, but I definitely agree. Like, the comic book kind of, I've seen it obviously on the shelves, and I've kind of looked like for it. Kind of did give me off that vibe of like we're so smart and so.
Yeah.
You know, that we're too cool for school type thing. So
yeah.
I've never read the comic book, but you know, and the art didn't appeal to me when I do remember seeing it. So, but I mean, hopefully
was it Mike Mignola? Who's the artist on those comics? I have to look that up because I know what you're talking about.
It was.
They look more sketchy.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, I know what you mean. I felt the same way too.
Oh, they've had a bunch of different pencilers on the course of the comic book run. So none of the names that I know jump out at me, but I'm looking at it right now.
I gotcha.
But yeah,
artist. We all got super quiet while we're doing our Google searches.
Right.
We're like, the fuck. Now we got to know.
Did you guys see any interesting trailers? Because I saw one that I was like, I might give this a
Cobra
view.
Kai is the only one I wrote down.
Cobra Kai.
I didn't even watch it.
I didn't watch Cobra Kai. So.
Oh, man.
My son loves that. My son is all up in it. Like he fuck every season that comes out, he binges it like first thing.
It's like super, super member berry stuff, but it's so good. I mean...
Did you guys see the trailer for the Addams Family series?
No, I'm staying away from that one.
Yeah. I'm gonna check it out, but I'm not. I don't have high hopes.
The trailer looks good, but I don't know. I love the TV show, the original, and the first movie that they did with Angelica Houston and Christopher Lloyd, and I forget who played Goldman's. I enjoyed the first movie. Second one, not so much, but I enjoyed the movie. Okay. But yeah, I'm not sure about the series.
I don't know. I'm not there yet either. I'm just like, maybe I'll check it out, but.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't they doing a Wednesday show?
I think it's still going to be focused around her.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's
okay.
It's Wednesday, because that's the name of it, Wednesday Addams.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's the main focus of the show.
Cool.
All right, gentlemen, is that about it for the week?
So far, that's all I got.
Oh, what's dropping tonight? That fucking
House of the Dragons.
Yeah. So we'll.
I'll give it a watch.
I don't know. I mean,
I love Game of Thrones the first few seasons, obviously, and I watched the whole series. But I'm not like I never read the book, so I'm not uber hyped about, you know, exploring the world more.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. That last season really left a sour taste in my mouth where I'm like, nah, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Again, my concern, we both talked about it, Dunk, but I saw that trailer, maybe it was two shows ago, it seemed too much like the regular show. Like, it was a blonde girl and it was this family dynamic, and I know there's dragons are mature and all that, but it just So I'm hoping it's different. And you know, because the show is based on just really interesting characters, and is it going to be the same type of Game of Thrones vibe?
I think they said they were, like, because, you know, one of the things you know about Game of Thrones is the gratuitous violence, the gratuitous sex. And I think I read someplace where they're going to kind of move away from that. So I'm not sure how much of the Game of Thrones feel it's going to have.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'll give it a look. Let's see.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Hopefully, I had to give my mother-in-law the password to my HBO Max account so that she could watch it, because she got all into the Game of Thrones and fucking binge that. She's like, "Ooh, that's coming out. Can I log into your shit?" I'm like, "I guess, whatever." Mm-hmm. So I'll watch it tomorrow when there's fewer people on my shit, fuckers.
you better get the mileage out of HBO Max while you can, because if all the rumors are true, it's probably going to be folded up pretty soon.
Probably, but I got Discovery Plus too, so I'll get everything. I have everything. I can't think of a fucking streaming service I don't have right now. Name a streaming service, I probably have it.
YouTube.
Yeah, well, I have YouTube TV. Yeah.
Peacock.
Yep.
Jesus.
The fuck's that Peacock?
Yeah, what the fuck is really?
Actually, we got it because, the fuck did we get Peacock for? Oh, so that we could get Yellowstone, because we couldn't find season 4. It hadn't dropped where we were watching. It wasn't on Hulu or something. However, we watched the first 3 seasons. Mm. We couldn't watch season 4 because it hadn't dropped yet. So the only way we could get it was Peacock. But then I realized I got the WWE with Peacock too. So I've been fucking watching WWE and get back into all the wrestling stuff. So yeah, yes, I got fucking Peacock. I got NBC, which means once they drop fucking Maverick, I'll be able to watch that shit. All right.
Yeah.
Name another one. I got it. I promise you.
I can't even think. Was it fucking home HGTV or some shit?
That's on Discovery Plus.
Oh, that's on Discovery.
Yeah. Hey, David, you know what's a good show to watch on Discovery Plus? It's this 31-year-old lady that impersonates a high schooler to catch sexual predators online.
What?
It's called Underage Undercover, whatever. It's so it's creepy, but it's fascinating. With this lady, again, this lady, she's like 31 years old, and she acts like a teenager, you know, someone who's 16 or 17, and you see all kind of skeevy fucking dirtbags trying to get her to come to hotels and shit like that. It makes you, like, when you have, if you have a daughter that age, like, that's something.
If you saw to Catch a Predator, like, that was literally what that whole premise was about.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I got one for you. Acorn TV. You do not have that.
I do not have Acorn TV. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Good call. All right. You got me.
The only reason why I know that, I think, is because my mom used to like British shows for some odd reason.
Oh, that's why I heard it.
And it used to, she used to get like British shows on that shit.
Yeah, I got the Paramount. I got Paramount Plus. Oh, no. That got changed to fucking.
No, it's still Paramount Plus.
No, CBS All Access became.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I also pay for fucking Hulu with no ads, too. So. Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
You know, it's funny. We don't pay for our Disney Plus or ESPN anymore because we did that Verizon deal thing. But we won't give up the Hulu without commercials. It's the one streaming service where we're like, we can't have commercials.
I gotta say, the fucking commercials on Hulu are annoying.
Oh, dude, there's no worse place to watch fucking commercials than the CW. When you use the CW app, it is fucking, it is egregious how bad they are.
They intentionally make repeating commercials, the same one over and over again, so you'll say, fuck it, I'm paying for the ad-free version. That I'm telling you they do that. Yes. Telling you.
Yes.
Yeah, because I have Hulu, but I don't pay for it because it's part of my cell phone plan, so I got it free. So, but it's the ad version, obviously. So, and I don't really watch a lot of stuff on it, but every once in a while I do watch it, I'm like, fuck, the fucking commercials are so annoying and so frequent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. That is the one thing I'm super glad that we have paid for ad-free on was Hulu. I couldn't deal with that shit. When we were down here before we moved down in April, we went to my sister-in-law's and she had Hulu and she's watching it and all of a sudden an ad comes on. I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, what? I go, you don't pay for the ad free. She's like, oh no. I'm like, oh, how do you do this? Oh, this isn't good for you. How do you survive?
And she's like, motherfucker, you just can't, you live in a state where they don't have fucking,
I know,
movie, where you can't select your movie seats. You're talking about,
I know.
So who are you to be talking down to someone?
Honestly, that will be the one thing I take for Vermont is that I will go as ad-free as possible because I paid for it. Like, if I don't have to watch ads now, I'm perfectly happy. Everything I watch is recorded or ad-free. I won't watch commercials. Yeah. It's awful. All right, gentlemen. Until next time, you have been listening to Vintage Geeks, where we save the multiverse one podcast at a time.